This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Haldon.
And Benjamin Haldon.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I was just about to go in with that.
Is it? But it won't be.
Won't be when this releases, but it is when we record.
And Galentine's.
What's Do they that? Have it?
What's that? Like, girls, Valentine's. So all like, with all your girl mates, you wish them happy Galentine's.
Sure, that goes the same way for guys.
What would yours be called?
The same, because guys and girls, Galentine's could work both ways.
No, because it's gals. Galentine.
Palentine.
Pals. Lads.
Broentine.
Lads and Tine.
Broentine's better.
But no, you always, with your girl mates, you wish it. And then if you're single, I think you like celebrate Galentine's together. And it's a great time.
Cool.
But it won't be when this podcast goes live. We're actually not doing anything for Valentine's Day, are we?
We've only just literally just flown back into the country. So
we look like shit.
Well, I think we look better than we probably...
We had to...
Functioning that, cognitively.
It was one of those... Well, we got in at 1 a.m, didn't we? Mm-hmm. 1 a.m. I'm not good with a 1 a.m. bedtime. It really throws me off. People who go to sleep at 1 a.m. There we are. People who go to sleep at 1 a.m. and wake up. And do you know, people go to sleep at 1 a.m. as their normal bedtime. I need to be in bed by 9
o'clock. Some people are night owls. I was even listening to the latest episode with Rory Sutherland on Chris's podcast the other day. He was talking about, he goes to bed like 12, half 12, 1 o'clock.
What time does he get up though?
He was speaking, this is going completely off topic. I just was really interested in his chain of thought, and this is so random, in buying houses.
Yeah, interesting.
Did you
listen to this, Carl?
Yeah.
So his contention is that people buy houses the wrong way. They buy houses like, I'm going to buy a house that is... close to a big school, or, you know, cost $250,000 as your max price. But then your perfect house might be, you know, it is close to a school, but the school kids don't walk that way. And it might be $260,000. And just by setting a price at like $250,000 is my max, you might miss out on, you know, some incredible houses. So he's saying he would, for him, being close to a pub is something that a lot of people would really hate. But for him, that's like a fucking dream come true because he loves a bevy. So... yeah,
he was basically saying, think about the metrics of what most people think is the worst thing about a property in terms of location or things around it, like things that you wouldn't really want, but things that you personally could put up with. So a lot of people wouldn't want to live next to a railway station, but he said, I love trains, so I would love to live near a railway station, and I don't go to bed until 12:30 anyway, so there's no trains that run that late, so it doesn't even bother me. So he says, think about the things that are worst usually in terms of metrics for house prices and what people least want, and think about what you could put up with.
What would I put up with? I could not put up with a train, I don't think. I think the noise, because we go to bed quite early, that would really bug me. We're kind of just off the back of a road. That never bugs me. That doesn't... Because some people are like, oh my God, I can't. Like, it needs to be... But that doesn't bug me at all.
If you were
very
30
countryside.
Seconds away from like an athletics track, most people would be like, God, I don't want to be there when all the... You know, whereas for you, it's like...
Oh my God, I'd be like, I run to the track. Yeah.
Andrew.
Oh my God, yeah. Okay, look at it in that way. That's really interesting.
And he's the funny one. He said was, I live close-ish to a school that is like a bum school. But that doesn't bother me because all my kids are 30 and they're not going to school. So that doesn't matter. I don't need to be close to a school, which is... prestigious and does well.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, the athletic track 100%. Or if there was like a gym. Yeah. To be fair, we have a gym.
A dream.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting thought.
Interesting. Sorry, I just completely changed the topic there.
Yeah, and I have no idea what we were talking about.
I just want to say thank you to everyone for the amazing feedback from the tier episode. I know everyone's been loving listening to that.
We
if you haven't, make
well.
Sure to go back and tune in and give it a listen. And if you have any of the guests that you would like to see on the podcast that we can make happen, please drop it in the comments because we'll do our very best to do so.
Yeah, we definitely really do try, by the way. I think people can tell from when we did get...
Cal.
The amount of emails we send to people. God, it's annoying.
It can be really hard because we want to get the best guest possible on for you. So when we did get Tia on, that was like actually a really big moment for us because she's so big... obviously in the fitness space and the CrossFit space, but just in general, it's like a very empowering person. And we do appreciate how much you guys love that episode. So fingers crossed we can get more on. We do have two really, really cool guests next week when we're in London who are going to be absolutely incredible. But yeah, keep giving us ideas because we will honestly do our very, very best to get these people on.
Oh, we've got another one that Carl's lined up at the moment, which is amazing. I'm really excited about that one. But
we can't share
after a honeymoon in America.
Yeah, we're going to America, guys, in...
12 days.
Yeah. We've honestly, the Lanzarote trip that we've just been on, it was a working trip. So my mum and dad were away and they asked if we wanted to go. And obviously we said yes. So we've just worked from there for 2 weeks. No, we didn't. 10 days and then come back. But we've got a honeymoon in Disney.
And then, yeah.
In Florida, actually.
And the little children come then. We spoke about this on the podcast.
I don't know what you're about to say. Kittens. We're not pregnant.
The kittens.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were insinuating that I'm pregnant.
No.
Oh, my God, we're getting kittens.
Have we spoke about this already?
No, Cal, Ben, and no one knows we're getting them yet. But no, to be fair, Ben has never had a pet ever in his life. And that's sad to me that Ben's never had a pet. And I've always wanted cats in this house or like kittens and cats. Because we've grown up with them and my cats live with my parents. Ben has always been against it. When he used to go home...
He wasn't against it, just...
He used to not... When my cat used to stroke Ben's leg, he used to kind of like move it away with his foot and that used to make me really sad. So I thought Ben hates cats, obviously. About a month ago, we were on the train to London. No. It was about a month and a half ago. Ben on his laptop screen had... kittens up on his thing and I went a tab and I went over to it. I was like, what's that? And you really like hush, you like, what's fucking, we're just talking about, because we had you rats or something. Oh no. 2 weeks later in London, Lucy, do you want to get some kittens?
I was going to get as a surprise.
But that wouldn't be a good surprise for me.
Two cats.
That would, yeah, because you can't just get one. You can't just get one. It would
I know
be lonely.
A lot of people have one cat.
You get lonely. So we're getting two kittens and we pick them up in about a month.
31 days to be specific.
And we won't tell 31 days. We won't tell you the names or what they are, but you will see. They're gonna be on the podcast.
They will be at some point.
I'm gonna do every episode holding one of the kittens, every single episode, and I'll alternate. You can have one and I'll have one. And then Kyle can maybe have them as well. I'm very excited about it. But I'm glad it wasn't a surprise because I would have been really stressed if you just suddenly turned up.
That's a big
surprise,
right?
Yeah. If you just turned up with two kittens and I've already got the litter tray, I've already got the food bowls.
Yeah, we've not even got the cats yet, and Lucy has literally decked the whole house out. If God knows what it's going to be like when we actually have kids.
That's
well, you probably already started planning for that as well, actually.
No, actually, but you do have that wouldn't. I quite like small surprises, but whoa. If you just came back with two kittens, I'd be like, what the fuck do you want me to do with them? Like, where do you... Like, how... But I'm very excited about the kittens.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read this out for me?
I do. I thought you were going to do it straight away when we first entered the podcast. That word confuses me. The farthest distance in 24 hours, farmers carrying... 100-pound male is 54 kilometres, 33.55 miles, and was achieved by Ben Haldon, UK, in Chester, Cheshire, UK, on 21st July 2023. Sorry, why have they put... why have they put farmers carrying? Is it not farmers carry?
That's how it's moved, isn't your farmers carrying?
The farthest distance. I also thought it was furthest distance.
The farthest. I did say it to you a few times.
The farthest distance. But Ben, look, get it out. Show and tell.
Guinness World Records.
It is nice.
There we go, guys. We finally have... This was a bigger...
You're officially amazing. Yeah. That's great.
This was a bigger task to actually get the certificate through than it was to do the actual challenge itself. It's taken so long to get it verified by Guinness World Records.
Did you think at one point it wasn't going to come through?
Yeah. I did harass them a couple of times. Just be like, where is this up to in terms of the review? So, yeah, we finally did it. And I just got a card through this morning from my Movember, which is really cool, being one of the top 10 fundraisers in the UK for 2023. And we've got the Movember awards evening. Is it this month? Next month?
It's next Thursday. Also, we have the Run Club on the Wednesday night.
So that is, I think it's like some awards for one of the biggest fundraisers, whatever it is, or being doing something. Because one of my biggest goals was to try and empower more men, especially in 2024, and open more conversations up about men's mental health and just generally help more guys get on a positive track with whatever they're doing, both with their physical and their mental health. And that's a big thing for me this year as well. So it's a really nice way to kickstart the year and being nominated for one of those awards in November.
If you win, you'll have to do a speech.
Yeah, that's fine.
You should practice your speech now.
Are you going to take the handles down to the awards?
I don't know. I was thinking about it, but it might be quite difficult.
That'd be fun though.
So, but yeah, as Lucy was saying then, we're going down to London to do that, and we're doing a double podcast, and we're doing a run club.
Yeah. We're doing a lot.
Can we say who we're doing the run club with?
I've already shared the ticket link. So it's with myself, Ben, and Cassia Clark. And it's going to be incredible. It's in London. This is the second one we've done in London. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because we always want to do them everywhere for you guys, but you guys always request London. So we thought a really nice idea would be to do one that evening.
Do you want to explain where and the time of the event and stuff, just in case there are tickets left when this goes out, which I'm not happy?
Okay. I will just pop the ticket link below for you because I don't want to share it and then you don't have a ticket and then everyone rocks up to where the start is. It is in London. It's in a very central location, which is really easy to get to, which is great. And it's a 5K at a 6 minute per kilometer pace. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, nice run.
Steady run, yeah.
Nice, steady run. So yeah, we'll leave the link below. I don't know if there'll be ticket. I mean, I don't know. I can't promise you. They usually sell out within the first hour. Yeah. So we will see, but that'll be very, very exciting. I'm going to kindly interrupt today's episode because it is sponsored by Graham's, the family dairy company. And we spoke about how hard it is in this day and age to have easy access to protein on the go. We have the world's busiest lives. We just do, millennials, Gen Zs. And the fact you can just pick these up from literally any supermarket. You've got Asda, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Spar, Aldi, Lidl, Morrison's. You will have already seen it everywhere and anywhere. So this one, for example, that I was having today, 15 grams of protein. Look at that. You could literally just walk around, have it in 2 seconds, got your protein. 35 grams of protein. That is more than a protein shake. And that's incredible. And it's delicious.
Yeah, I think the thing that I really like about this one is as well, and I'll be carrying these around with me more often, is one, yes, it's 35 grams of protein. But two, it's the consistency of the drink itself. It's a lot thicker than a protein shake. It goes down a lot better. It tastes a lot nicer. And the most important thing, it keeps you a lot fuller. So you're going to snack less. Now, as part of this, Powered by Graham's is doing a 30-day challenge aimed at encouraging you to increase your protein intake post-exercise. Graham's family dairy protein products are fat-free, low-sugar, and sweetener-free, making them the perfect on-the-go snack just to take with you pretty much anywhere. If you'd like to sign up to the free 30-day challenge, make sure that you visit www.grahamsfamilydairy.com/powered. Which will give you access and tell you a lot more about the 30-day challenge.
And all you need to do is add in your email address. So it really is that simple. And honestly, guys, we would not tell you how good they are and they would not be on this podcast if they weren't absolutely phenomenal. Just to remind you guys again, that URL is www.grahamsfamilydairy.com/powered.
Yeah.
Back to today's episode.
And shall I go on to my... We have a lot of questions.
Yeah, well, one of the ones...
There we go. I love it. Why are you tensing your biceps?
Stretching and tensing. Double whammy. Same men can't multitask. One of the questions I had, and it was off the back of the holiday, really. It's actually a topic I've been thinking about a little bit when we were away. And it was around switching off from work whilst just not even being on holiday, just being able to switch off from work and constantly thinking about work or constantly thinking about a to-do list or things that you're in your mind or stressing about things that are coming up. And it's something that I struggle with. It's something that I struggle with whilst away as well.
I was terrible.
Because I don't stress when I am in work. I stress when I'm out of work. Mm. Because I'm thinking about work, and when I'm doing work, I'm not thinking about it. And what this then does, it makes it way harder to recover. It makes it harder to sleep. It makes your mood worse because you're just constantly, if not working, you're thinking about work. And you feel like you're doing something important when actually the important thing is unplugging, stopping, switching off. And that's something that I, when we were away, struggled with still quite a lot as well. Even though we were flexible working, that sometimes makes it more difficult for me because flexible working means I can carry on working anytime. There's no cut-off time. There's no cut-off date. There's no stopping. It's just constantly go. And then when I'm not doing the work, I'm worrying about doing the work. Mm. I'm stressing about doing the work. And that's the problem with flexi time for me, especially now in an age where you can answer the email, you can answer the message, you can get back to people, you can complete the to-do on the task because you've got a mobile phone. Mm. You are always contactable. You are always reachable and you're always able to get back to people whenever you need to. And that's the thing that I really struggled with switching off from when we were away, because there's no physical boundary. There's nothing in place to stop it. Even at dinner times, I'd quickly do a bit of work, quickly finish that email. And it's still something I struggle with. It's something I don't want to do at all when I'm on honeymoon, because obviously this trip when we went away was to work, but I just extend that. When it's flexi time, that flexi time means to me, just carry on doing.
I agree, though. I think I did not stop thinking about work for 10. I don't know if it's because we've got a lot going on with the app and moving around and the podcast and then our own socials, and it's never ending. I kept going into these like states, and you pulled me up on it a few times where I was editing a video on my phone or doing emails or just doing something on my phone, and people would be talking to me and I was completely out of it because I was working, or like there was no point where I didn't, or I just it was good because I kept getting really creative ideas, but I wouldn't write the idea down and be like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I would literally start it straight away, wouldn't I? Like, I'd be like, I need to go and record this voiceover, or I need to go and film this, or I need to go and do this email. It was so rational and intense because our job lives rent-free in my head on a daily basis, and it's actually really annoying. Like, it's so annoying how much my brain doesn't turn off. When I'm on a run, I get my phone out and I set myself reminders when I'm running. I'll be voice noting you too. I'll be voice noting stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I literally can't switch off. And it's a really weird place to be. I think we do have quite good balance, but we already said January wasn't balanced. But the good thing about when we were away as a family, so not everyone was working and on their phones, and that helps switch off a little bit or just work in a slightly different location. But we pulled each other up on it, and all four of us did actually, with Meg and Jake as well, because we all said, let's look at our screen time. As soon as I look at my screen time, I was like, I'm putting my phone away. Like, it was so high. It was like five hours.
5 hours 41.
And I was like, put it away, throw it in the pool. Like, I felt physically sick that I was on my phone that much. When you add it up over the week.
35 hours a week.
35 fucking
over
hours.
Over 35 hours, probably about 40 hours, which is a full-time job, by the way, on your phone.
And it's really hard because we had really deep conversations.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know it is our job, but that is a full-time job.
Yeah.
On your phone.
We had really deep conversations, didn't we, about what is differentiated for us for work and non-work. Like, I don't like scrolling. I don't really scroll often, but I will, because I now don't edit on Final Cut or kind of, I just use my laptop for like, I don't even know what I really use it for. Like, it's just like app stuff, to be fair, just app stuff. Whereas I use, like, I edit on CapCut. I look at trends. I do all my emails on my phone. So my screen time, I can't differentiate what's, I can't differentiate if that's work time or pleasure. Do you get, and I think that's a really hard thing. Like I might get a work phone.
More stuff on your laptop again though helps create boundaries, because you're creating a physical boundary that maybe phones not as work based and the laptop's more for keeping work on, for doing the editing on, for replying to the emails on. And even if you switched your emails off on your phone, if you wanted to do that.
That would stress me out.
I know, but it'd be a good thing for, like, long term to probably do. Tips for getting away from the stress of work if you feel like you're unbalanced or you can't stop thinking about work. I wrote a couple down, and one of the big ones for me, and I did this a couple of times when we're on holiday, and I do this with my phone in the morning for my alarm, is to go and plug it in. Go and plug it into a wall, because then your mobile phone essentially becomes like an old house telephone. It's on a wire. And you're not going to stand just next to the plug aimlessly scrolling through your phone. It's uncomfortable. It's unorthodox. So leaving it on charge as much as possible is actually a really good tactic to keep you away from the doom scroll, from replying to emails, from stressing out about contacts, or being always contactable on WhatsApp. The other thing is having some kind of physical notebook or something that you can write ideas down in. Because if you're thinking about something, the easy way to take that stress away from your mind is to dump it on paper, and then you can address it tomorrow then. It's on a to-do list to sort tomorrow. You can forget about it today. Really, really easy one. The other one where you wouldn't, this is the only time I never think about work. I know that you do it when running, but exercising or when in the gym, I do actually switch off.
I don't.
So I like to use that time because I've made it a priority to control that time, which is like when I've said to you before, stop doing stuff on your phone when you're in the gym. You need to prioritize that really important time of exercise to break up away from anything else in the day. I mean, we spoke about the 5 minute rule when we're on holiday, which is where if something, a task can be done in 5 minutes, do it. Just get out of the way and do it, and you're not thinking about it. But if it takes longer than that, then write it down and do it tomorrow.
I think what's really hard, that's what I really struggle with when I'm running or gymming or training, because it's such a pivotal part of what we do, and my brain goes into overdrive. Like in one session, I could film 5 videos. And it's like my brain can't just enjoy the session, which is why I also think I enjoy going to big group, like high rocks, hybrid classes, because I can't. I don't have my phone on me and I have to just fully train. Whereas when I'm training by myself, I'm like, oh, there's an idea. Oh, it's really bad and I can't get away from it. It's like, there's always something to film. There's always content to create. There's always this, there's always that. Like I just, oh.
Whereas with content stuff,
yours is slightly different.
I don't actually enjoy it as much. So I will write things down, a piece of content that I need to film, and then when I'm training, I'm just training. I don't really like vlogging because I feel like it takes over my life, which is why I stopped doing it. I don't do a lot of the bits of content where I'm just like filming workouts and stuff anymore. I just tend to enjoy my workout. If anything, content-wise, it's usually planned or to do with the podcast. And that does definitely help me just be more present, because the whole reason why we're discussing this topic at the moment is to be more present and be less stressed. And it's finding out ways that you can not be worrying about the future or regretting the past and live in the now.
We have very different content styles though.
I'm not saying one's right or wrong. I'm just saying that for me, it's helped me be less stressed. And I understand when you've got a certain style or you're living a certain way or recording and showing your life, it's going to be difficult to get that balance. I understand that.
Yeah, it's just a really weird thing, isn't it? I don't think people even realise. Like mine pushes on like mild OCD, which I already had ages ago anyway. But it almost like it. Like I will film something in that session, because even Cal can vouch for this. And then I've edited 5 videos within an hour. Like I'm done. Like I'm just, and then I think, oh, okay. But then I do the exact same thing the next day. And I've got so much content backed up that I don't even use because it comes obsolete because I filmed it so long ago. It's just an idea at the time. But I think the notepad thing is really good for me because I remember that one session. Do you remember I took a notepad into the gym with me? I think I left my phone in the house because it was the music for the gym in the garage. And that was really good. And when I had an idea, I'd write it in the notepad. Mm. And I actually produced a really, really good piece of content from it because it was just my brain couldn't switch off. But I was like writing it down in the notepad and the phone was in the house.
I think one of the big things is a lot of people now work from home as well. So there's no physical boundary between office space and home space. And for people who work at home, there's things that you can do to make sure that you sort of change that environment, whether that's once you've clocked off is putting some kind of relaxing music on, listen to some music that you enjoy to change the feeling of your home. It could be getting changed into a different outfit that you've been working in all day to make sure that, again, you're creating some kind of physical differentiation between your work clothes and your, like, slobby or gym clothes, whatever it may be. There's a few things that you can do in terms of making sure that you create some sort of boundaries if you are somebody who works from home, which can be really difficult.
Well, this is what we started doing. All three of us used to work in the kitchen. I was like, nah, we're nipping this in the bud. If we're working and we're on laptops or even working on your phone, you come upstairs and you sit in the office. You do not do it in any other area of the house, even though sometimes it's really comfy to do it from like the lounge or, but then the whole house feels like a work environment. Whereas since we switched doing that, it's great because the office is the work space.
What about you, Carl? Because you obviously work from home quite often as well.
Hello, you've got me. Yeah, I used to find that I would rock out of bed in kind of my PJs or at least put on like comfy clothes once I've woken up and actually not slept in PJs. And then I'd just do my work in like, you know, joggers and t-shirts or whatever. And then I would go to the gym in joggers and t-shirt. And I'd find that I'd always just be in total slob mentality.
Yeah.
So I used to, there were days where I'd wake up, I'd put on, you know, nice pair of trousers, you know, fresh socks, fresh underwear, whatever, and work in like actual clothes. Mm. And that I think really helped my mentality of like, I'm working. And because, you know, the work we do is quite informal. So I can just work in like, mm-hmm. you know, joggers and hoodies and activewear. But no, it's quite nice to mix it up and dress like a real human for once. I found that my screen time was getting really out of hand recently. And I've tried to like nail that on and just get away from that and not be watching a movie in the evening and like on my screen or like on my phone at the same time.
Yeah, double screen.
I think what you do though quite a lot is you watch YouTube things on your phone when you're doing stuff, so that probably increases your phone time, screen time quite a lot.
Definitely.
Even if you're not scrolling.
Yeah, creative stuff. Like if I'm editing like 300 photos, I can just like do that mindlessly and you know, watch like podcasts or whatever at the same time. But yeah. Need to get it fixed.
Yeah, and again, that 35 hours, 40 hours that you spend doing that, obviously it's part of a job. Imagine 30 years ago, you would have, where would that 40, 35 hours have gone?
Yeah. I just did a quick little bit of maths there that if you're on your phone 5 hours a day, every day, that's 12 and a half years.
Bennett.
I know. 12 and a half years. That's assuming you've got 60 years left to live, which is quite nice.
I sometimes, you know, and it's really rogue, I have this thought process a lot. Sometimes I think about just packing it all up and moving to Nepal.
That's rogue.
But that is sometimes what I think. You know, when life gets like so that, what we just spoke about, I sometimes just think about packing a bag with my rucksack and just living wildly.
Nomadically. Have you heard about the Mexican fisherman story?
Yeah.
Ben's probably got a good explanation of that one for you, Liz.
Do you want me to tell it again?
I do. We need to tell everybody because I've
I think Chris told us a few times.
Chris who, sorry?
Chris Williamson on his podcast. But it was I think it was originally put up on a thread on LinkedIn or Twitter by someone ages ago. I'll try and tell it the best that I can. I'm sure I've told it before.
I thought you were going into song.
Which song was he going to sing?
I don't know. There was
a Mexican fisherman.
Yes.
In Mexico, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. Who was out one day fishing, and an American businessman came over to him with a pitch.
Like a pitchfork or like a pitch deck? I need to understand the full story. Deck.
And he pitched him the idea of that he could increase the volume of fish that he'd catch each day by increasing the amount of fishing boats that he had. So he said, if we can double the amount of boats that you currently have, you have two boats, then we can catch more fish, we can sell more fish in the village, and you can make more money. And then with that money, we can eventually then get a fleet of boats to go out and catch more fish, bring in loads more fish and sell a ton more and increase again. And then from that, we could get an office in New York, and then we could set up fleets of boats in different ports and then sell the fish and bring in more finances. And each time the fisherman said, and then what? And that was, well, then we can sell equity in the company and we can bring in more money and we can expand the fleet further. And the Mexican fisherman said, and then what? And he said, well, then eventually we can sell the business and you can just sit on a beach in Mexico and catch fish. And the Mexican fisherman said, exactly.
He's already doing it.
He's already doing the thing that is at the end of the rainbow.
Beautifully told.
I was beautifully. I felt like I was being read a bedtime story then.
Cal, I was really going into like another. I'm going to request bedtime stories every night. That was wonderful.
The purpose of the story is that a lot of the time we're working towards something which requires money or time or for you to get better at doing something. But the thing that you're giving up your time for, you could already have. You could already have that happiness, that thing that makes you happy without giving up or sacrificing everything to do so. Not always, but it's something to think about. If, again, like, I was thinking the other day, I was actually driving my car back from the gym and I thought, when we reach the end point of whatever we're looking to do and whatever we're looking to achieve or later in life, do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to be a postman. I'd love to just walk around. I've not got massive responsibilities. I mean, I'm sure working for Royal Mail can be stressful, but I'd love to just go and deliver letters, speak to the odd old person every now and again when I go and deliver them, get a load of steps in the day, and obviously be great doing it in the summer. But even if it pissed down, I don't think I'd be too pissed off about it. I'd get to be in the outdoors, I get to walk around, not a huge amount of responsibility, and just deliver letters and boxes.
I mean, you probably will do that one day then, if you want to do it. Why would you not?
I always feel this way when I see people in London who have like really bad like lifestyle creep. So, you know, they're living in London, they're paying £3,000-4,000 a month on their mortgage, and then they've got like the latest Tesla, which is costing them, or like, you know, a BMW or some crazy Porsche, costing them £1,000 a month, and they've basically got no money at the end of the month. And they're just absolutely grafting their ass off in some horrible office, making, you know, really, really good money on paper, but spending it all to like maintain this lifestyle. It's like, are you happy? Like, there are people in, you know, Indonesia who've got more disposable income than you do because you've just spuffed it all on trying to appear and like keeping up appearances and stuff.
Yeah.
Strange.
Well, this is why like that Nepal thing really sits like strongly, because you could like, it's just so like, it's like breathing out, calm, very, very, very happy, thankful, fortunate people. And it's it's really interesting, isn't it? Just like thinking about all these sort of things.
On the flip side though, I love work. Do you know what I mean? I actually love doing it. There's a reason why I do it so often, is because I actually love what we do. And this is the other side to what we've been speaking about, is if you really love doing something, then don't let society tell you that you shouldn't. Because sometimes the reason why you feel stressed out about it, or the reason why you feel like you shouldn't be doing it, is because other people or societal norms are telling you, oh, that's not normal to do. But if the thing that you love is doing that, then that's absolutely fine as well. We're just talking about balance. And if you find yourself getting burnt out, because we do it sometimes and we're not perfect, it's just about finding, even if you're doing something that you love, is creating some space or some time to recharge so that you can continue to do what you love and do it at maximum capacity.
What we do is we're so passionate about it. Like, the passion we have for what we do is unbelievable, even down to things now which I never thought I'd be passionate about, which is so weird. But even the nitty-gritty, like working side by side with Cal and like designing an app screen, I'm like, I'm like, whoa. Like, it interests me so much, like, how it looks, how it works, the creators, the functionality. Like, when you dive into it, is that something you've picked up on as well, Kyle? Like, you know, the actual process of bringing, I guess, like, the app to life that no one else sees?
Yeah, for sure. I found it extremely interesting. And, like, I didn't go to school for app design. You know?
Kyle, what did you do in...
I did zoology. I was studying ants and... ants and birds at university and jellyfish. Yeah, but no, like, I find it so interesting. And yeah, it's nice to have something that's kind of like, it's got our fingerprints all over it out in the world, that people are like using and interacting with on a daily basis. But yeah. It's really nice.
And that's something
I can tell you love it as well, Luke.
I think it's really, like, as soon as something new's happened, I'm like, can you show me, can I see what it looks like? Like, how does it work? And show me. And obviously we get stuff wrong and we get stuff right. And it's just, I think it's a really interesting space to be. So even though I'm very passionate about fitness and health and helping people, the actual things behind the scenes that go into the work, like the business side and the, like, graphics and things, I find it really interesting. I really like it a lot.
I think that's the best part of our job for sure. It's just a variety.
Yeah, I do.
The complete variety of everything we do every day.
Which is why... we end up working 24/7 because there's so much to do.
I think also we often talk about negative comments, but we get so many great comments from people whose lives we've been able to impact, whose journeys we've been able to be a part of, and how happy and thankful people are for being a part of the MyCoach community, which is just beyond anything, gives me great pride and makes me happy above anything else. So that is just like getting those kind of comments back from people who have genuinely... change their lives is great.
Yeah, because there's always going to be so many negative comments on social media.
There's not, though, is there? There's just the ones that we pick up on, and we tend to focus on those over anything else.
That football stadium thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I just meant in general, not just at our things. Even just sometimes, you know, when you go, I follow some random pages, but like something from Lad Bible or something called New York Post, and they post the weird, wildest stuff that's happening in the world. And you click on something and you just have a bit of scroll through the comments. And I'm thinking, how are people so like negative online? Like some of the things they say, I'm just thinking, how is that coming out your mouth? And you're typing it and commenting on someone's post. It's really weird behavior to me. Like, what? Very odd behavior that I if you think that, fine, think it. But why do you have to voice that? Like, but it's just my opinion.
Because it makes them feel better.
Yeah. But they always go like, oh, it's just my opinion. I'm thinking, that's great. But your opinion is just like vulgar and rogue, and just keep it in your brain sometimes.
But the thing with people is, just like with everything, unfortunately, there's got to be an arsehole. There's got to be, shit's got to come out of somewhere. And they're those people. Do you know the ones that I always get on recently is the videos with Jack. I've done a few with him now. And it's really annoying that he gets... there's a lot of support for him, but a lot of the videos I've done with him, he gets a lot of shit on the videos. And it's because he's actually choosing to do something with himself.
Yeah.
And there's comments like, he's just so awkward and like, he's so weird. And like, why can't he just do this? Why, if he's happy, why does it matter to you?
Yeah, and also he's a lovely, great guy. Yeah. Why are people so obsessed? People are obsessed with like pulling him
just
down.
Just for reference, he's a slim, skinny guy who... I've done a couple of videos with him, YouTube videos with him. I'm helping him with some coaching stuff as well, and trying to bulk up and improve his own self and his own self-confidence. A little bit like I did a video with Nathan, who's another guy, slightly different journey. We did a cut down. But yeah, that's just package and parcel of it. So you can check those out. They're on my YouTube or TikTok as well.
Sort of plug.
Yeah. But yeah, get behind people. Do you know what I mean? That's what the fitness space is about. Even if people at the start are doing things that you deem as wrong or a bit incorrect or whatever, people start the journey at somewhere. Do you know what I mean? You don't get into a car for the first time and do a 3.10 or reverse park perfectly. You get bumps and knocks along the way, and you slowly learn as you fail and move forward. And with guidance from the right people and the support from the right people, you'll get there. But just on this turn off from work thing, one of the big things for me, and I've spoken about this before, is the unschedule sheet. I will try and find this link to send to people and put it in the podcast notes. Sorry, Carl, no, I'm asking you to bring that up. But it's called The Unschedule Sheet. There's actually a book on it. I think it's a productivity book. And it taught me a lot about prioritizing. So
You've not used that in a while.
I've not. But I might put it back in again. It's like habits. When you stop using anything or stop doing anything. But I still do although I don't use the sheet, I use the tool or the methodology within my diary, because what you do is you put in your diary the things that you want to do. So just like with the Mexican fisherman, what you're basically doing is, what is the end point that I want to get to or do today, or what are the things I actually want to do that I'm working towards, and I put those in first. So it might be go to the cinema with Lucy, it might be go for a walk, it might be go and see my mum and dad this weekend, it might be go and play golf with the lads, I don't know, whatever it is, that goes in there at 2 p.m. or whatever time it is. And then the work goes in before it. And no work can take place whilst you're doing that. So all the work's got to be done prior to that point. And you know what will happen if you actually put a time cap on it? You'll get the same amount of work done that you would have been spent doing all day before you go and do that. And also, it's a real simple psychology method of positive reinforcement. You're reinforcing the behaviours and the work that you've just done by doing something you actually want to do. So it's called the unschedule sheet. Instead of putting all your work in and then the things that you want to do, you put all the things that you want to do and then the work in around it. Really useful tool.
Yeah, it's a brilliant tool. I don't use it as much, but for you, honestly, it worked wonders. Mm-hmm. It worked wonders for your procrastination, or if you felt like you had to do this or had to do that. And yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, even if you want to play GTA or go on the computer, wherever it is, you can put time for that in your diary and just work before it and get it boxed off.
Yeah. I had an interesting... It's not actually an interesting question. It's more so just something that I actually don't know the answer to for either of us.
Cool.
What is your weirdest trait or habit?
Weirdest trait or habit? This is probably something that you will pick up on for each other rather than really...
Well, that's what I was trying to think. What is your weirdest trait? What do you do that's like weird?
You probably know better than I do.
I know, I'm speaking, my brain's speaking out loud. I don't think I have that many weird habits.
Disagree.
Cal, what's one of my weird habits?
No.
A trait?
The names of things, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That is the best. That is the best. That is a weird trait. Oh, no, maybe that's a weird habit. Is that a habit or a trait? I think that's actually a trait because it's part of who I am. Meg does it as well, though. If you notice how similar me and Meg speak in a very, very similar way. I like changing words, and then Cal and Ben also do it as well now. Yeah. Like blub.
You don't do it as often anymore, but I hate the baby voice.
I don't do the baby voice.
You don't do it anymore.
I don't think I've ever done the baby voice.
You did it
voice.
A few times. I had to pull that one up.
A few times.
I don't like it when anyone does it.
I've probably done it three times, and Ben has remembered in our 6-7 year relationship that I've done it three times.
It's one of the things that goes through me like chalk on a blackboard.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Well, I will be talking to the kittens. And...
No.
you can't.
I do baby voice the dog.
Yeah. You will do. I can't do it, Cal. I can't wait for when Ben does his first baby voice to our
just
kittens.
It if you can. That'd be great.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you.
I will jump head first into a concrete slab.
No, you won't. Yes. No.
I've got a weird habit, Ben.
Go on, please tell me.
Taking one bite out of something and then putting it back in the cupboard.
Yeah. That is a weird habit.
The amount of times I've gone to for people who don't know, working with Ben Lucy is incredible because
thank you.
The amount of like protein bars that Ben Lucy get is amazing. However, you go to the cupboard, you pick one out, bite gone. Jaffa cake, bite gone. Cheese from the cupboard, bite gone. It's so weird.
Yeah. That's a really weird habit you've got, isn't it? Picking stuff up and putting it back.
I'm a nibbler.
He's a big time nibbler.
Yeah.
I've done it a few times. Probably I just don't want to
eat the whole thing. I just like, I'll have a taste. And I'll probably go back to it another day and I'll have another taste.
Do you know what's a really bad habit? This isn't a weird habit, a bad habit of mine. I don't share food. And we picked up on this.
On holiday.
I openly, I'm not trying to hide the fact I don't enjoy sharing food. Like
you've got the characteristics of an only child.
Interesting.
No,
you don't share a lot.
Oh, I'll share anything else: clothes, shoes, anything. Food, no. Like I don't know what it is in me. I really don't enjoy sharing food, and I don't know why. And I wish I did, but here we are.
I'm the opposite.
Ben's a big sharer.
Not with the protein bars.
That's the only thing, though, because protein bars are tiny, but I always offer you. I'll even offer you first. I actually enjoy offering it to you because I like... Do you know when you're like, oh, I'll taste this, dead nice. Do you know, so you can get a validation of the thing that you're having is nice to offer to someone else. That's me.
Yeah,
do you know what you do as well, then? You'll buy, like, we'll be in a shop and we'll see, like, a random variation of something and I'll walk out and you'll have bought it for everyone to try.
Yeah. No,
like, you'll see a protein bar.
No, sorry, Cal, I'm going to stop you right there. Okay, he's not bought it for everyone to try. He's bought it for himself to try.
How have I ever given it to other people?
I think it's for the team.
He has bought it for himself to try.
If you're giving it to other people, at least, just because you're an absolute minge bag, don't try and put your own ethos on everyone else.
No, but the sharing thing, we picked up on it on holiday because I don't know if it's maybe like how big Ben's mouth is. So say if you have like a bar.
Why am I getting criticised everywhere, yeah?
No, say if you had a bar and I share it with Ben, or I've done it in the past, and then he takes half, and I'm thinking...
No, I do not. You are a liar, because when you offer something to me, if I ever get a bite of anything, it's literally the corner with... You know when you have a sandwich, it's just bread.
I hold it like that. I hold it on the end. It's just like... Maybe it's from past experiences where I've shared food with people, and instead of taking an appropriate bite, like if you had a croissant... They eat half your fucking croissant. I'm thinking, you may as well have it. I'll go and buy another one. I'd rather buy two and then just give
you
the whole
thing. Buy two.
I'll do that. I will do that. I'm all right with meals. Meals I'm okay with. If I'm like, do you want to try a bit of my spaghetti? Yeah. Because you've got a massive... I think it's more of like sharing a small snack that you're really fucking excited about this snack, and then someone comes in and bites half it, and I'm thinking...
No one does that, though. And I'm the only person you share stuff with, and I never do that. So you're just creating excuses now for why you're not sharing.
Well, I'm just being open that I just don't really enjoy
sharing. What happened when we were on the plane yesterday?
I don't know. What happened on the plane?
So I went over and sat by Meg and stuff and Jake on the plane, and they had like some sweets and stuff. I got the sick bag out of the thing and filled the whole bag up with sweets and brought them back for you.
That was nice.
That's very cute.
That was nice. You were sharing their food for me. Yeah. But yeah, point aside, that's
just going back to the topic we were speaking about before, because actually like this podcast just kind of flowed into a how do you turn off from work stuff. There's a question that I've had, and it's favourite books that aren't self-improvement, which is also interesting on the topic of this podcast, because I think you can get carried away, and I definitely do, in the whole self-development world, and only reading to self-develop, which I think it's important to consume things that aren't just always trying to sharpen the sword, because you get, if you just constantly consume, how do you ever implement or action when you're taking in so many different things? So many people have bookshelves full of self-development books and will just read them for the sake of reading them and never action anything. This is why I always say your best reading 5 books and reread them and action the same stuff. That's why I've read the Essentialism book 3 times, because it's better for me to take in the same information that I actually believe in and think is valuable, rather than just continuing to read and spiel through a load of different books. And I think fiction books is a great way for you to switch off from those kind of things and to be taken away into a different world and away from the real world, where you can be away and not thinking about work. Because like Mo Gallagher said, you can't be happy and unhappy at the same time. So if you're in a fiction book and in a different world, in a story, you can't be thinking about the stresses of work that you've got on.
Well, I honestly agree with that so much with the book thing, because I think I was in Portugal with Lauren, and she was reading a book by Colleen Hoover, and she wouldn't put this book down. I was like, I really want to read that book. I read it in 2 days. I then read the second one in like 3 days. And I was finding that instead of like scrolling or going on my phone or
picking the book up
or thinking that, I need to read a business book or a self-development book, because I do enjoy them a lot. Like, I really love the business and mindset books. I could not put these books down. It was getting me up at 6 o'clock in the morning so I could read what was next and what was happening in my book, because they were so exciting. And I'm going to order 2 more for America by the same author, because I do really like it. So I'm not, because I was going to take my Do Hard Things book that I've nearly finished now, but there's no...
What's that like, sorry?
It's great. The Do Hard Things. I think it's by Steve Madder.
That's the one that I bought you for Christmas.
Really good. In a nutshell,
what's the...
I think the overarching thing is talking about toughness and how to be your most authentic self without ego. Is basically the general, and like building inner confidence that not a lot of people talk about. But that is a really good book. But instead of taking that to America, because my brain's always ticking over, always. If I'm reading a business book, I get so many ideas. I do actually have a little notepad for that.
So is that your favourite book that isn't self-development?
No.
Okay, what's your favourite one?
My favourite non-self-development book?
Yeah.
because do hard things is self-development. It ends with us. Or Verity.
Who are they by?
Colleen Hoover.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant. Is that your favourite non-fiction book, yeah?
Yeah, I think, yeah, just favourite author, Colleen Hoover. She's done some really, they're kind of weird rom-com with a twist. Mm-hmm. I love them. I think I dive into the characters and I imagine what they are and it's, I really get lost in a book. I could read it in a day.
Carl?
What's that, my favourite non-fiction book?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Killing Commendatory by Murakami. That's a really good... I'm currently reading Lord of the Rings, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, reading The Fellowship at the minute.
Well, have you done, read that before? Cal.
I read it when I was like 10, 11, but me too. I think a lot of it went over my head. Yeah. And I like skipped chapters and stuff. So
that's a really good idea, that. I think I could probably do that because I imagine like with the Harry Potter books, there's a lot in there that is missed in the movies just because it's so long.
Yeah, I saw a girl actually freaking out about the first time she was reading Goblet of Fire for the first time. And I think... she started crying her eyes out because Ron and Harry weren't friends. It was very cute. But yeah, no, my fiance Andrea reads books like an absolute
train.
She's on her 13th book this year.
That's mental.
No joke.
That's insane.
Fiction. Yeah, she flies through. There's a series called ACOTAR, A Court of Thorn and Roses, and she's like, fully obsessed with it.
Yeah, my guilty admission is that I don't think I've read a fiction book since Harry Potter.
And how old were you?
Years ago. That's one of my issues, that I do just generally read self-development books. Not always in business. Sometimes with mindset or happiness or purpose. Or I've read quite a few on psychology as well, because I'm interested in that because I did it at uni. But yeah, I'm telling people about reading fiction books and getting carried away in the world, but I don't do it. I tend to watch a lot of movies. Which isn't the same as reading fiction books. I will probably try and take a fiction book with us on our honeymoon because I don't want to do work stuff. And I feel like self-development might be playing into that. So I will make this pledge on the podcast. You have my word that I will take a fiction book to America.
But I mean, there's only a couple of days where we end up actually having a bit of downtime on these sort of holidays because we're doing so much. But I guarantee I will get through one of those books in 2 days, because I can't put it down.
And again, this is one of those things with the work thing, which about switching off, is, do you know what I sometimes think when I'm reading a fiction book? This is a waste of time.
Yeah, no, it's
because,
not.
No, I know. This is my, you only have those two different things, and the two different voices. It's like, you could be learning or progressing in this time. But there's, like we were speaking about before, sometimes there's more important things that you would get from the switch off and the change and the creativity from doing that. But it's battling that inner voice for me sometimes.
Yeah, no, I really, really rate reading something that just takes you away from everything. And also what's really important, and people don't even think about it, you can't be on your phone. You cannot be on your phone. If you're so absorbed in your fiction book, oh my God, you're just, the phone's not irrelevant. Put it in the house and go play hide and seek with it. Fucking hell. You just don't even care where it is. And it's such a nice feeling to just... I'm going to order a couple more books by Colleen Hoover and I'm going to just start. I'm going to start this afternoon.
Audiobooks?
I don't love an audiobook.
I love an audiobook. I'm joking.
It's not for me.
Yeah, I don't really love an audiobook.
I forget
like
what's
a really
happened.
Enhanced podcast, they're great.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably enjoy them. It's just, you know, it's a habit that I've never got into. Because if I'm going on a run or something, I would listen to a podcast. But I think I'd probably enjoy audiobooks. I've listened to a couple, using my favourite ones, so I've listened to a couple of Mark Manson ones, and I've listened to the Goggins one, which is quite good because he narrated it as well.
Yeah, no, there's some really good ones out there.
Saying that, though, actually, I really, with you two the other day, this new app that I found called Headway.
Yeah, it's cool.
That is actually, this is not an ad either, by the way. I honestly, oh my God, my daily streak's on zero, Cal, because I didn't do it either way. It's basically, I don't know if you can see it, it's loads of books, and you fill in a questionnaire thing at the start. You say what you like and what you're interested in. I would use an app sort of thing like this for business and self-development. Like, I wouldn't want a summary of a fictional book. I'd want to read the whole thing. But you can basically click on it and you have like a library, you have saved books, and you have like gibbets and stuff like that. And it comes up like this, and you can either read through it or you can listen to it in Audible. And I think it's done through AI because the voices do sound a little bit rogue. That's the only thing I'd pick up on, like the voices are. But there's obviously thousands of books, so it'd be impossible. And it breaks the book down into like 10 minutes. And for me, for some self-help, motivation, mindset, whatever you want to call them, books, I think that's really clever. So it's called Headway. If anyone wants to use it and feel sometimes they get a bit overwhelmed with how many self-help books or motivational books there are out there, I think it's a really good thing. And you have daily streaks.
Talking self-help.
Break your streak.
I've got to leave.
Oh, Ben has physio.
Physio.
What time is your physio, Ben?
It is in an hour.
Okay. I've had one question that I think would be really good if we could quickly answer it. Do you mind if we quickly... Yep.
I could do it by myself if you need to leave.
It is a question...
Go on, just dive in.
Okay. The question came through anonymously and it says, I really fancy this guy at my gym. How do I make a move without looking like a complete weirdo?
I think you can actually... I think definitely just start a normal conversation. Like, hey, how are you? What's your... I've seen you in here a few times.
Like, oh, no. You can tell you've not been in the dating game for a while. I've seen you in here a few times. That's creep mode. I've been watching you.
Oh, yeah, that is creepy, actually. That is really creepy. That's really creepy. I wouldn't say... No, I'm also meant... I actually don't know because I've not been in the dating scene for like 7 years.
I think it's
mid-set.
It's usually a guy's kind of place traditionally, isn't it, to make the move. So maybe... Even just being in the vicinity a little bit more and being seen by him first is probably the first.
I think she's already there.
Then you can probably, okay.
Smiling with the eyes is a really, if someone does it back to you, we used to do it all the time when we first, when we weren't a thing, but we were a thing. Like you kind of smize at each other and then they're giving it back. You think, do you know what? This is great. Don't do it whilst they're mid-set. I just go up to them and be like, hey. I wouldn't know what to do.
if you want to be subtle about it, you can probably ask about like how many working sets have you got left on that, or if you can work in, and that's a really easy conversation starter. Because that's what you're looking for, really, aren't you? You're just looking for the intro to be able to chat to someone and speak to someone. And that's probably a really easy way in. And I know that probably...
Why isn't I've seen you in here a few times? I think that's quite pleasant.
Okay.
Pleasantly being like, oh, I've seen you in here like a few times... What do you do? I don't know what would be next.
That's a really easy way in an intro to speak to someone. You throw my foot off now.
Sorry. It was just about what I meant was just doing it in a nice way without sounding... I don't think that's creepy. I don't think that's creepy saying like that. But yeah, yours is probably easier by saying, how many sets have you got left?
I think it's interesting that girls asking this. I think normally if a guy was to go up to a girl and ask them in the gym, it might come off as a bit creepy.
This is why I'd encourage people to do it, because how does people think your mum and dad met and everyone else met? Everyone else thought someone else was good looking or beautiful or sexy or whatever it is, and then they approach them. This is how interactions start. And if people want to pretend like this doesn't happen and that everyone's a creep, then that's the world that you can live in. But for everyone else who wants to try and find a partner or wants to give it a go, just get outside the comfort zone, do something. There's actually some, like, I can't remember who made the plan or the challenge. It's like a 50-day challenge where every single day you've got to do something that embarrasses you or really challenges you. And one of them by someone was, I think, going in. It might have even been James who spoke about this, about going in and next time you order Starbucks, just say when you get to the till, can I have this for free? Like, they'll probably say no, but it's about getting knocked back or challenge yourself to be embarrassed every single day. So that could be one of your challenges, that even if you're embarrassed, just go and do it, because at the end of the day, all someone's going to say is no, but the benefits that come from it could be a lot bigger.
To be fair, coming from somebody who was very stressed out to speak to somebody at a gym that led to this incredible job that I now have, chatting to people in the gym is nerve-wracking as shit, but very, very good. For clarification, basically the job that I work now with Ben and Lucy all came about from me just randomly asking if I could take pictures of them one day in the gym.
I found those pictures, you know, when you're on an aeroplane, all you do is look through your phone. they're actually really good, Carl. Like, I think they're really nice. But yeah, the only thing I'd say with going up to someone in the gym, wait till they finish their session, I think, because then if it goes kind of wrong midway through, then you're then like awkward the whole rest of the session.
You know when they're finishing the session?
When they've got their bag and they're getting ready
to... Yeah, they're gone. That's bad news.
I wouldn't do it mid-set though then. Just like wait and like make sure they're just like not mid-squatting or mid-pressing or got dumbbells. No, don't pull that face, because it happens.
Okay, it does happen.
So just like wait until people are looking like they're ready for a conversation.
Hope that's not the worst advice you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah, I think it was.
If it goes wrong, blame Lucy.
Blame Ben.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. We appreciate all the feedback, the responses, the comments, so please continue to do so. Make sure that if you're watching on YouTube, you subscribe and hit the bell button to be notified of future episodes.
Same with Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We love leaving reviews. We love reading your reviews and what you think about the podcast. As always, keep sharing it, and we'll see you next week's episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye.